We have been in a series for a couple of weeks. Next Sunday, I'll wrap up this series about unlocking faith. Unlocking faith. The first week, we talked about exceptional faith. Having great faith, putting your trust in the Lord completely. How many have put your trust in the Lord completely? Man, you are, praise God. I'm not even sure I can raise my hand. There are still times, like a headache comes along and it's like, Advil. And I'm like, Lord Jesus. And I wish I could get my trust completely, you know, my first thoughts, my first actions about Him. And I'm working on that. I'm growing in that. So I want us to live there with exceptional faith. Last week, we talked about extreme faith. I talked about being faithful, about following the example of Jesus. And don't ever give up. Stay the course, right? Be faithful, living with extreme faith. And last week was Father's Day, and we gave these out. And if you did not get one, I have some for you today. If you're a man in the place, not just a dad, but a man, we want you to have one of these. And I have a good reason why, but I'll tell you that in a moment. But this, I made stand for something last week. And the M stands for men. That should be real easy to start with, men. And what was I talking about? Mastering faithfulness. Mastering faithfulness in our life. And so I want you to take it. I want you to unlock it. And that's unlocking faith, right? I'm having a problem already. I don't know how. There we go. Unlock that faith. Open it up. Consume it. Because next Sunday, what did I ask you to do? Men, bring them back filled with what? My son told me, he said, Dad, you said just fill it with anything. So I said, I think I had a purpose in that. I want you to fill it up with money. I want you to bring it back, and we're going to give all the money to Light for the Lost, which is our men's missions department about supplying Bibles and evangelism materials to our missionaries on the field. And so we're going to bring those. So next Sunday, right? And so if you didn't get one, you need to get one. And I know somebody who didn't get one last week who's going to get one right now. Because you were the last person to leave the building last week. And he went out there, and they were all gone, 220 of them gone. So I bought some more, and I'm like, they're out there. So, man, if you didn't get one, I invite you to get it and bring it back next Sunday and show that faithfulness. Amen? Today I want to talk about evident faith. Excuse me. Not just exceptional faith, not extreme faith, but faith that is evident in your life. I don't know about you when you talk or maybe you speak somewhere, but every time I finish a message, I find myself questioning my family or others, whoever's around me, did I communicate the truth effectively? And my question many times is simply this: what did you get out of the message today? Now, part of that comes from my own insecurity. Because I'm like, did I say anything worth hearing, you know? And so my own insecurity probably asked that question. But I do ask it because I'm trying to identify, did the point of what I'm sharing, was it evident? And I'm looking for evidence back for that because I wanted it to be clear. I want it to be obvious, and I want to know that the Holy Spirit is using it. But in much the same way, I am sure that all of us would love to see our faith evident in our daily lives. And checking that out every day, was it evident today that my life represented Jesus? And although all of us enjoy spiritual moments, how many of you have ever had those spiritual moments? You were weeping before the Lord, or you were just joyful, and I mean, you just knew God's presence was there. You've had those moments? I love it when those moments come, but all of us still have to deal with the natural moments that come. Anybody have natural moments in your life? It's most of the time, you know? That's kind of where we live, and I want this special evident spiritual thing in our life, but we deal with the natural. In fact, has anybody ever questioned in your own heart your walk with the Lord? Have you questioned, God, do you love me? God, are you really there? God, have you really forgiven me? We kind of do. We question those things because we all have doubts sometimes. But that is part of growing in our faith. That is part of God continuing to work in our lives, because let me tell you, He is faithful. And you keep peering on Him, and you will find that He is perfect in all His ways. In our text this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul highlights some evidence of faith that he sees in the church at Thessalonica. Now, I think there's some checkpoints, though, that can help us address our doubts in our minds and spur us on to discipleship so we can have this faith that is evident in our life. But before I get to the text, there's some facts I want to give you that you need to know. The number one fact you need to know today is this: every believer has struggles. Everybody say that. Every believer has struggles. We all do. Is there anyone that doesn't have a struggle? We all do. Listen, there is no such thing as a person who gets it right all the time, except me. No. That's when I'm a dad. I always get it right, right? There is no such thing as a person who gets it right all the time. In fact, I want you to hear the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, right? The great writer of most of the New Testament. The one who, you know, I mean, man, a man of faith and an evangelist of heart and wise, right? Has visions that he can't even tell us about because he has this relationship with God. But here's what he says in Romans 7. He says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. Anybody ever been there? For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Church, all of us have been there. All of us are in this life-long battle while we're here on earth. And we have an enemy who's against us, and sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. But remember that God is faithful. He is just, and He is willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness every time we go back to Him. But each of us needs to understand this first important fact, that every believer has struggles. You got that? A second fact you need to know, and this is one you probably won't want to hear, but we need to hear it. It's good for us. Number two, people are not as close to God as they could or should be. You are probably not as close to God as you could or should be. I am probably not as close to God as I could or should be. The bottom line is this: we all need to grow. We need to grow closer to God than we are today. But that is dependent on really how deep do we want our walk with God to go. A third fact you need to know is this. Number three, read it for me. Ready? True. True growth and maturity requires what? Maximum effort. Minimal? Maximum. Maximum effort. But it won't happen unless God's Spirit is really there as a part of it, is supernaturally working to change us. That is why we need His Spirit in us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us. And He can help us grow and mature on a daily basis if we will allow Him to. But do we take the effort and put in the energy that is needed for that to happen? That is the question. So, Heavenly Father, today we ask You to speak to our hearts with Your Word. I pray You help us grow. I pray that our faith would become evident to ourselves and to others. Lord, we want to live for Your glory, to reveal Your name as we live. And it's in your name that we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to look at 10 verses, but I'm going to walk through it, so I'm not going to read all 10 right now. But at verse 1, it says this, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father, listen to the evidences. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. It's evident. Paul begins by saying, we know you're genuine believers. And Paul says this because he sees the evidence that's coming out of their lives. The evidence, I read it to you, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope. The people of Thessalonica have evident faith. How many would like that said of you? Of course we would. We would love for the evidence of faith in our life to be seen by others. That's what we want. I want us to walk through, though, the scripture because I want you to see how the evidence began. How did they grow in their walk with God? The first thing was this. They were responding to the Word of God. Listen to verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and what? Deep conviction. Paul says the beginning evidence that these people really are genuine believers is the way they've responded to the Word of God. Did you know there's a lot of people who hear the Word of God, but not everyone responds to the Word of God? Two people sit in church on Sunday. One is deeply affected by what they hear, and the other one falls asleep. What's the difference? One is engaged and is longing for the Spirit's power to work in them, and the other is not. It's that simple. Your being here, listen to me carefully, is about what you want to get out of a service, not about what I have to give. I want you to hear that again. Your being here is about what you want to get out of a service, not about what I have to give. The Holy Spirit is longing to take the Word of God and apply it directly to your heart if you're desiring it. Paul said the gospel came to them in power. It made an impact on their lives. The Holy Spirit used the Word of God to convict the people of their sin. And then the Holy Spirit awakened them to their need for a Savior, prompted them to believe, and then He gave them direction for their lives. Now, how do I know that? Because the scripture said the word came with deep conviction. They didn't just believe the word of God because it was taught. They believed and they recognized it as truth because it affected the deepest part of their being. The writer of Hebrews tells us this, for the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When God is at work in our lives, His Word will feel like it's speaking directly to us. For instance, have you ever felt God's Word burning within you? Or maybe you picked up the Word of God and you found God is speaking in a timely way into your life, in a powerful way into your life. If you've experienced that, that is evidence that you are listening to the Holy Spirit. But you need to respond properly to the Holy Spirit as He directs you. Here's some questions that you can begin to examine to see if maybe the Word of God has evidence in your life. Number one, do you turn to the Word of God for guidance in your life? Some of these are rhetorical and some of them you ought to really answer. Do you? I mean, the first, man, for me in decision-making, James 3:17, I learned this actually from my brother. In fact, today, visiting with us is, and you've been praying for this family so much, but my brother Philip, who passed away a couple of years ago, his wife Debbie is here with us today, and it is a joy to have you here, Debbie. Amen. Amen. As I think about this, it is my brother and Debbie who really taught me this deep lesson. In fact, they were ones, as a teenager and they were in ministry, I'm like, everything out of their mouth was the Word of God. I'm just like, can't we just talk about life? And they're like, well, you can, but He's really the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's, is that not really? That was Philip and that was Debbie. Both of them, they just the Word of God, because they turned to the Word of God quickly. And one of the things I learned from my brother is James 3:17 and decision making. Anytime you need to make a decision, wisdom from above is first of all pure. Check your motive. And I learned that because I needed to somehow apply the Word of God, not just hear it, but do it. And I need to turn to the Word of God for guidance. Number two, do you expect God to speak to you and your situation when you read the Bible? Do you expect Him to? Or has it just become an old habit that I do devotions, so I read through 1 Kings chapter 3, and I got to read 10 verses today? Or do you expect, God, I want you to speak to me out of this. I want to learn. I want to understand what was going on. Number three, does the Word of God lead you to change things in your life? For instance, the Bible says, here, I'll choose one. Hopefully this works for all of us. Don't murder. Maybe I shouldn't ask if that happened in anybody's life. But that we try to go, okay, I really shouldn't kill anybody. But what about the simple stuff like don't gossip? Do I hear it and let it change the way I live? Number four, does the Word of God have authority over your values, decisions, and your behavior? Now, if you answered yes to all these questions, you know what? There's evidence of faith in your life. But if you answered no, I would encourage you to do some soul searching of what you really believe. And then you ought to begin to let the Word of God have an impact upon the way you think and the way you act. I believe the Word of God is life-giving. I believe it is our final authority, and it will speak to us on a daily basis if we will let it. Let me move to another evidence that Paul recognized. He also recognized that they had a life that looks like Jesus. The last part of verse 5 says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of who? Of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a," what? "A model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Another evidence in their faith is shown in the fact that they were changed in the way they lived their life. They looked like Jesus. In verse 6, we're told they welcomed the message of the gospel in spite of their suffering. Church, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how tough it may be. But listen, the Bible says that you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I still allow the Word of God into my life. I don't base what He can speak to me on how I feel. I listen because His Word is truth. And I want to welcome it. The truth of God's Word was more important than following after the culture of their time. Listen, how we respond to God in times of crisis can be a true indicator of how deep our faith really is. In verse 7, it said they became a model, an example to who? To all the believers. They had a life that was worthy of imitating. I would hope that we would want to be people who are worthy of imitating, that we would follow Christ, we would follow His Word. But we need to examine our lives and see if they're worth imitating. Would you want somebody to be just like you? It's a question. We need to evaluate it. Another evidence is found in verses 8 and 9. It says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known where? Everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Church, here's what happened. They made an impact on those around them. The Thessalonian church was making an impact on the people around them. Paul says the message rang out from them. The phrase rang out here is to blast forth, to sound forth intensely. Their faith was being proclaimed loud and clear, but not only to the locals, but it was to everywhere. People all over the world saw and heard about the changes that Jesus was making in the lives of the people at Thessalonica. In the normal course of their daily life, they're just reflecting Jesus. And in turn, that reflection was impacting the world. Church, if we would live for Jesus Christ where we are, we could be planting seeds in all those people around us and everybody who passes by us. It could be coworkers, it could be fellow students, it could be customers who walk into your store. Church, where we live, we can make an impact on people and we can have a touch around the world, especially in this day with as much of global culture as we have. Even in this place, God has given us incredible multiple nationalities. Did you enjoy hearing the song in different languages this morning? That was great. We may never understand the full impact of that, but it impacts me. And by the way, you may or may not know this, but we record our messages via video and audio each week. We put it on the internet. It's called our podcast, and you can go listen to messages from the past, and it's put there out there. And did you know it's being heard by people in Canada, the United Kingdom, Lithuania, India, Germany, China, and the Russian Federation? Amen. And in the last 3 months, we have also added to that Switzerland, Belgium, Italy, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. The ministry we do here at Northfield Christian, because we are ringing out the message, it is not just touching the locals. Your life does not just impact the locals. We impact the world where we live. Don't think that you won't have an impact. You do. God wants to use this church to influence the world, but we need to start by influencing our personal world. We need to have an impact where we are. Another powerful evidence was seen in verses 9 and 10. Now remember that the Thessalonians, they're impacting the world. This is what people were hearing about them. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Church, these people experienced incredible transformation in their personal lives. They turned away from worshiping false gods. Listen, that could get real popular real quick. In fact, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, there are many, many so-called churches, and I'm telling you, they are abandoning this. They're leaving the Word of God behind. And church, you're going to have to use your discerner real well in these days. They stopped being controlled by superstition. And they started living their lives in anticipation of the second coming of Jesus. They stopped living as this life is all there is, and they started living with an eye toward heaven. And that's the kind of change that needs to take place in our lives. When we personally become and understand that we are a child of God, and we understand that our faith is genuine, and we begin to imitate Him, we become worshipers of Him. It's like this. When people look at our children, we have 6 children. People can see it's evident that they are our children. The blonde hair, the this and that, you know. Sometimes it's physical similarities. Sometimes it's behavior, right? But there is something in our likeness that ties us together and makes us family. Church, as the children of God, shouldn't there be evidence of the reality that we look like our Father in heaven by the way we live our lives? I mean, shouldn't it be evident? The Bible tells us that when we become true believers, the Holy Spirit takes residence in our life. Listen to Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included. You were included. You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose in our life is to conform us into the likeness of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to develop the character and the fruit of the Spirit in you. He wants love and joy and peace and patience and kindness when you're on the road. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, if you don't see the evidence of faith in your life that way, you may not yet be a part of the family of God. You say, Pastor, that's awful hard. That's the truth. If you're not seeing the evidence, you may not be part of the family of God, but you can be. God wants you to be a part of the family. So let me remind you a couple of things. We start here. We all struggle. You understand that? But we can't let that keep us from walking out our faith. Everyone struggles, but you can be more than a conqueror. Also, you need to know, not everybody is as close to God as they could or should be. We have heroes of faith sometimes we look at, and sometimes they disappoint us because of some things they do. I told you last week, and I remind you again this week, listen, if you see anything in my life, if you see an action of mine that does not represent our Father, please come tell me. Don't let me keep walking in a way that doesn't represent the Father. I want to change. There are choices I make in life that I want to be careful where I'm seen, and because I don't want to cause anybody to fall or stumble. And I'm careful about what I represent and where I go. And you ought to do the same. I know that we have this image of what a true believer should look like. But by the way, each of you really ought to be working on your own personal growth. Quit judging. Quit comparing yourselves. Far too often we spend time trying to judge one another when you just need to grow closer to God. And then listen to what we learned from the Lord's Prayer. Just one line, Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts. See, we all struggle, right? That's where that comes in. That's our sins, our problems we have to deal with. But listen to this. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Church, we walk in pre-forgiveness. That's where we live. I don't need to walk in post-forgiveness. Well, I'm thinking about it. No, I've forgiven you. I need to walk in such a way. While you were still sinners, Christ died on the cross. It was pre-forgiveness. Lord, don't hold it against them. And we ought to live grateful that God loves us and He has forgiven us, and we need to be forgiving others. But you know what? That's going to take maximum effort if you want to grow. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. So how are we going to become evident in our faith? Number one, respond to God's Word. Let it change you. Don't just read the Bible. Let God speak to you from His Word. And then try to have a life that looks like Jesus. Imitate to the best of your ability the things you know about Christ. Imitate the Word of God, those things you learn. Put them into action. And work the Word of God into your life. And then make an impact on those around you. You may not realize it, but people are watching you. Listen, I know your children are watching you. I know that your coworkers are watching you. So let your story ring out. and live in a way that you would never cause, again, as I said, someone to stumble or fall. And lastly, could you experience transformation in your own personal life? You need to stay hungry for God. Keep the faith. Keep looking for the return of Jesus Christ. He is coming back.